Welcome back to the Subconscious Mind Mastery Podcast, or if this is your first time to listen, you are in for a treat. We kind of have a ongoing string of these audio episodes that go all the way back to 2013. It's become an audio blog of transformation, basically. And we're going to talk to Fred Dodson again. I know we just had him on here recently, but we continued that conversation into this one, and I wanted to break it up into two episodes because this is kind of a standalone topic separate from the parallel universes that we talked about last time. This is one of Fred's later books called Clearing Entities, and it's become one of the top audiobooks for 2023. So obviously there's a lot of interest in this, and then I experienced a recent entity situation that I've talked about in other episodes, and then went to this event where kind of spawned the Sunday series where we took a look at this over four episodes of could there be a line of even our own spiritual practice be a connection or food, if you will, for entities. So this is kind of, there's some setup that's in the book for this, but it's also a conversation that I know you can lock on to. So let's talk to Fred about how these slippery little critters, A, do exist, and B, how they can worm their way into our spiritual life. Let's talk about clearing entities for a minute, because it caught our attention the other day that a lot of people have been buying this, at least on the audiobook, and I'm sure on the book as well.
I did not expect for the book to be as successful as it is. Thomas brought it to my attention that it's the third or second best-selling book of the year.
Obviously an interest in it. And people, it's like what we talked about in the last podcast that we did together. It's this whole consciousness shift is more accepting now that, wow, we're not alone here. And one of the points, you had it in the book, it's one that I've just observed for a long time. In the Bible, Jesus did two primary things in his ministry. He healed people, and he cast out demons. Very interesting that neither of those are done very much in Christian circles these days. Even spiritual circles, most of them.
Yeah, that's what I've noted about the so-called church. Both the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, and all the denominations of the Protestant Church, of what use are all these denominations if not a single one of them practices what Jesus practiced? So to me, religion is a distortion of what Christianity actually was. We can see what Christianity is by reading the Gospels, and it's basically walking around casting out entities and healing. That's what Christianity basically is. That's what it is. And instead, you know, you go to a Catholic church, say, and they're reenacting every Sunday, they reenact in a ritualistic manner the Last Dinner. Jesus, in passing, said, you know, when you drink this wine and eat this bread, remember me, you know, and they take this. Instead of the main point of what they did, the healing work, they take this and ritually reenact it every Sunday instead of going around healing and casting out entities. And to me, that is just, it's so obvious. It's so obvious to me. And I ask myself, why? It's weird. What kind of, what's going on here? Why is the Christian religion not practicing, mostly, and not all, of course, there's a lot of good apples out there, but, you know, primarily not practicing what the Gospels are all about. And through that, we get, you know, atheism and New Ageism. These are people who notice that, and then they become opposed to it. They notice there's something wrong there. If you really want to practice Christianity and be a Christian, you need to heal. If you want to be like Jesus, and Jesus says, that's the point, being like him. Jesus says, the works that I do, you will also do. Works greater than I do, you will do. He literally says that. And I'm like, why did I never hear that in Sunday school? And in a way, this kind of upsets me because the level of deception is beyond imagination. You know, it's why did they never mention this particular verse, for example? Or why don't they mention, very rarely do they ever mention verses like, well, you'll be able, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to drink poison and you won't die. I mean, what a teaching. That's like, wow, that's like superhuman power. And today, if you tell some religious folk that a human is divine, has superhuman powers, they say, oh, you're of the devil. That's blasphemy. Jesus said, you will do greater works than I do. But if you tell that to some religious folk, they'll say it's blasphemy. You know, you're not greater than Jesus. Who do you think you are? And I don't understand that. It's just, it's not only in Christianity, though. There's a disconnect between the scriptures, which I've read. I've read the Quran, too. I've read Bhagavad Gita. I've read Buddhist scripture. I've read mythology. I've read it all. And there's a disconnect between what the texts say and what modern organizations practice. And to me, that smells of some kind of agenda, a non-human, anti-human agenda. I would say the entity agenda. So they don't want to be cast out. My idea, this is my theory, they don't want to be cast out. So they go and infiltrate all these. They possess people. They want to possess people because possessing people gets them to a higher level of consciousness from the bottom up to earth. So our earth is their heaven, so to speak, right? This is my theory. And then they possess people and say, okay, we're going to put these possessed people in positions of power so that they get rid of all this casting out demon stuff. And we're going to infiltrate religion and get rid of all this information, infiltrate the New Age scene, get rid of all this information, infiltrate the UFO scene, get rid of all this information. Did you know there are UFO researchers in the 1970s talked a lot about alien abduction in terms of possession, demonic possession, and all that information was there, several books in the 70s, and then in the 80s, all of that suddenly disappeared and was exchanged with Space Brothers stuff and all kinds of stuff, Galactic Federation stuff, blah, blah, blah.
One thing I would back this up to say is, okay, if Jesus healed and cast out entities, obviously today, go to any doctor's office anywhere in the world, there is still just as much need for healing as there was then. Is there any kind of way, this is such a silly question, is there any kind of way that magically the entity problem resolved after Jesus' time 2,000 years ago and there's no need for casting out entities anymore? Is there any way?
Well, that's what they say. That's what a lot of people say. That problem was solved because of Jesus' sacrifice. There's literally a theology that says that. You got to know a lot about theology to know that. Very interesting that you know that is interesting. Yeah, there's a whole theology that says, so Jesus died for us so that this never happens and we're free now. We no longer have to cast out demons. Instead, we have a pharmaceutical industry now.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I don't think so because we still have energies floating around. We still have invisible agendas. And we still have cases where doing an entity clearing session creates improvement. The reason I wrote the book in the first place is because I'd been getting stuck in some of my coachings and my tools wouldn't work. Like 10% of the coachings, it just wouldn't work. I tried this, tried that, get exhausted, get frustrated, say, okay, look, here's your money back. Go somewhere else. And then I realized that some of these hard cases could actually be approached from the entity clearing perspective. Now, regardless of whether you believe entities exist or not, the fact that these entity clearing techniques worked should give you, you know, food for thought. So seeing a person's problem as entity created, as some kind of foreign, invisible, discarnate influence worked in many cases. And I've had reports from book readers. That's why the book is selling so well. I didn't know it would sell so well. You told me. Okay, then I looked, and you're right. I don't even look up how well the books sell because I don't want to be influenced on what I write, by the way. That's why I don't care if it doesn't sell. I don't care. I want to go by my intuition on what I write. Anyway, the book is selling really well, and I'm getting a lot of feedback because people are telling me, seeing it as entity works. The danger is, and I say that in the book, is seeing everything, every problem as entity influenced, and that's not the case at all, not at all. Most of the things you experience as problems, I think it's 90%, have absolutely nothing to do with entities and all to do with your beliefs, your choices, your attitudes, your behavior. Amen.
Preach it, brother. Let me tip you off on something that I've been exploring. One of the things that, of course, is mentioned in the book is what kind of energy are entities interested in? If those of us, again, we have a lot of people listening to this podcast who really are sincere and determined in their pursuit of living their highest path. That's why they found you. That's why they found Subconscious Mind Mastery, etc. But what I got tipped off to through an event that I went to, actually, is that could entities be porting themselves into our spiritual practice because of what we're doing? So I walked back and took a look at, if you go back to my generation, I'm the tail end of the baby boomer generation. Next is the Gen X generation. That's, you were born into that one. And then a lot of people today are the millennial generation, and then Gen Z after that. Well, what came into the world in that millennial and Gen Z generation but the Harry Potter series? And all of a sudden, one of the most popular books of all time opened the whole generation up to delving into the magical in a way that they had never really been privy to or exposed to before. And now the Gen X and millennials and Gen Z generations, so going all the way back to around 1970, people that are 50, 45, 50, and up to current, are very quick to embrace tarot, astrology, various ways of divination, crystals, these kinds of things. And what I've come to realize, and you put this in the book, but this is to draw this out more, because I think it's a bigger deal than we realize, is that when we tap into these externals that are very comfortable to so many people listening to this, and just to parallel this, let me set this up too, that you mention sex itself, sexuality, the act of sex, the orgasm, in a loving, committed relationship is one of the highest levels of energy there is. And loveless sex is one of the most sought after entity food there is. So the same thing that is good and not, and that can also be used in a way that entities can come in. And what I'm wondering is these spiritual practices that can be just as good as committed loving sexuality can also, in a way that could, that we could not be aware of, it could slip past our awareness, could become food for entities.
Well, food for entities, indeed. I'll tell you, my response to this is something that happened to me about two weeks ago only. I attended a retreat out in the woods, and it was very awesome, very, very beautiful, up until the end. And that's when the entity agenda came in. There was some Tai Chi, that's some energy moving. There was some Qigong, that's energy moving. There was some yoga, that's energy moving. And we really got the energy up. There was some sauna paired with cold showers, which also moves the energy. There was some visualization work, beautiful retreat. I loved it, absolutely loved it. I was about to write a rave review on it. And then the very last session, was about offering food to the spirits in exchange for favors. I thought, what? Come again? And they did this whole ritual and with instruments and these shakers, and they went into trance. I thought, what the heck is going on here? Oh! And I'm like, I said to my wife, listen, let's go. I'm done here. We're good. And she said, yes, please. Yes, please. Let's go. Man, that was spooky, you know. Offering, yeah. So it's basically a recipe for what they did was a recipe. She said, she was guiding a meditation. She said, let the serpent coil around your body now. And I'm like, I'm out of here. Okay. Well, what is wrong with these people? So there's a, what I see there in that example, it's a lack of discernment. You have all these beautiful practices. You know, why don't we mix a little possession in here? First, some energy work, and let's just mix in a little bit of possession work here and call it giving food to the spirits. Entities have to offer something good, you know, for people to open up. At that point, it was the last session of the retreat. At that point, everybody was completely relaxed and positive and open. And that's when they introduced it. I find that so deceptive and dumb and wicked. And everybody was going along with it except for me and my wife. I don't need this. I don't need to have a serpent coil around my body. At that point, when she said that, that's actually when we left. So I don't know what happened after. But people stared at us so judgmentally. And one of them came to the door suddenly, like some kind of cult member. Where are you going? Where are you going? I'm like, we're good. You know, they were so loving and friendly the whole time. Oh yeah, we're so open-minded and tolerant. They kept saying, you don't have to participate in anything if you don't want. But then in that session, it was suddenly, where are you going? Where are you going? And we were actually, during the ritual, we were asked to provide food for the spirits. And at that point, we said no. And again, there was judgmentalism, right? And staring at us. And what's wrong with these people? It was so weird, Thomas. It was so weird. It's not the first time I've seen that. I've seen beautiful and legitimate things suddenly go dark. And I don't know why, I just don't know why people don't discern. I don't understand that. You know, can I practice my Qigong and Tai Chi and yoga without the entity stuff? Can we just leave that aside? Is that possible, Thomas? Is it possible for me to do my yoga and Tai Chi without the entity baggage? Yes or no?
Yes, it is, obviously. And the reason I say so is the very example that you used as the highest food for these entities, and that is human sexuality. You can absolutely have a beautiful experience of sexuality and sex and the orgasm without the attachment. Why can you not have the spiritual practice without them getting involved? But what I'm really tipped off to here, that's an amazing story. And what I'm concerned about, quite honestly, is that for a lot of us, we have to step back and reevaluate. I did a four-part series that was released on Sundays looking at this very topic on subconscious mind mastery because it was so important. It was realized that we need to evaluate, has our own spiritual practice tipped that line? And that would be one of the questions I would ask is, how do I identify if my own practice, even with my own good intentions, how would I know if something that I'm doing, I look at astrology, a lot of people do tarot cards, I pull cards every now and then, has that tipped over? Is that an area that could be a portal for these entities? Or in my intention of doing it for my highest good and my highest timeline and to be on my intuitive path and to be guided by highest source, if those are my intentions, then should I not have anything to worry about as much as if I were having committed sex in a married or at least committed relationship?
Well, at the very least, these questions should be asked and these matters examined. You know, at the very least, what difference does it make if I, prior to my tarot session, say, may this being the highest good? You know, does that word spoken into the universe change the context of the session? I believe it does. All these things need to be re-examined and re-evaluated. The self-improvement field, the human potential field, the New Age field, the Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all of it needs to be examined and evaluated and re-evaluated. We need to compare notes. We need to get to the bottom of things, which is my job. Happy to serve.
There you go. Well, you're exactly right, is that open examination, because I came from the Christian background, you did too. There are wonderful, gosh, I have some folks that they were my mom and dad's best friends. They're in their mid-90s now. They're just still going great. They are the most beautiful souls on this planet, and they have been changed by the Lord, and that's exactly what they attribute their beautiful souls to, and their longevity is their spirituality. I don't think there are any entities in that situation at all. You know, they are just genuinely beautiful, committed, practical people.
You can tell when there's a loving spirit there, sure. You can also tell a church that has a loving spirit. They might be, you know, you can tell a temple that has a loving spirit. And somehow you can also tell a church, a mosque, temple, synagogue, or seminar room that doesn't have a good spirit. I would hope that people can tell. I would hope that they're interested in discernment. This is all about discernment. That's the topic here, Thomas. Do we have the ability to discern?
Another concept you've mentioned quite a bit in your books is look at the fruit.
Yep. Sure thing. Look at what becomes of the people who are part of that group. Look at what becomes of Scientologists, for example. You know, even just saying the word Scientologist here on this podcast, I know that word is picked up by some AI, and then somebody at Scientology checks on that and checks whether I'm saying something bad about Scientology. Is that a loving and positive attitude? I don't think so. Oops, now I said something. You know, when you have to be afraid to say something bad about someone, that person is bad.
We didn't say anything bad. We just observed. To all you Scientologists, you're welcome here. Come on in. We're just trying to follow our highest timelines. And you know, another thing that, goodness sakes, you've done so much on this as well. Our intentions make all the difference, don't they?
They do. They do. It's not really about the belief system. It's about the level of consciousness. That's why I wrote Levels of Energy. You can be a Scientologist or a Muslim at many different levels of consciousness. You can be an atheist at different levels of consciousness. It's not about the belief system. It's really about the level of energy, the level of consciousness in anything. That's why I wrote those books, to get rid of this idea that it's about, okay, this is the truth and this is falsehood. No, it's about different people attracting different things based on their own consciousness level. And I'm very, very grateful. I know this. So grateful. It's kept my life very smooth at all times. I mean, people have been listening to this podcast of yours with me since 2012, I believe, 2013. 13. And throughout all that time, has our life not been fairly smooth? Have we ever, you and me, either of us, have we ever reported on some disaster or catastrophe happening in our life?
No.
No, not much. A little bit on your side, maybe, just a little bit on my side, but the ride has been fairly smooth, you know? A few hiccups here and there, a few challenges here and there, but that's what higher consciousness does. It keeps things smooth, because things only get difficult because you're not hearing the message. If you're not hearing the message, you're going to get a warning. And that warning comes in the form of disasters. And, you know, it's like instant karma, so to speak.
Somebody said in our Facebook group the other day, karma's only a bitch if you are.
That is very true. That's very true.
Well, there's a lot in the book. I really appreciate this. This is a scratch the surface conversation, but there is a lot in the book that talks about this, how you can protect your home, how you can protect yourself, how you can know, how you can separate from that not everything is an entity. There's a whole section on that. We'll let that speak for itself. But if you haven't picked that book up, oh my goodness, why don't you join the many others who have this year? And obviously, it's very popular. We'll keep exploring this more in the future. Thanks for going a little bit deeper with me here on it. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it, too. Thank you, Thomas. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for this platform that you're providing to me and the listeners. Thomas Miller, source of an awesome podcast platform. Have you ever thought of interviewing other people in the field in general?
I do, but I'll tell you how I select it is if I have encountered them and if they have impacted my life, rather than opening it up to everybody that has a message. There are a lot of podcasts that do that. They do it well. Those are excellent platforms, but I like the filter. It just has worked better for me.
That's a good filter. It's impacted me personally. Mm. Good.
The book is called Clearing Entities, and it has some healing techniques, some clearing techniques, and also there's a companion book called You Can Heal Anyone that's about physical healing, but the two together are your power team for physical and spiritual healing techniques. They're both available on audible.com. Always like to mention now that people get confused. You do not need a subscription to buy on Audible. You can buy them individually. They also are on Apple Books. This is a big area, and we're going to stay on it as these times are changing. I think that we are more aware and the veil is thinner. So we'll be staying after this on the upcoming episodes of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Always enjoy having Fred. We'll see you next time on the Subconscious Mind Mastery Podcast. I'm Thomas Miller. Enjoy the journey. The stories and opinions expressed on this podcast are independently those of the host and guests and are not intended to be taken as medical advice or to replace medical care from a licensed professional when appropriate.